This is the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast for the latest Indiana farm news and weather and a check on the Monday markets. I'm Andy Eubank. Thanks for listening. The HAT podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and Greg Allen have the news today, including what this year's Thanksgiving dinner will cost compared to last year and how to sell your used equipment in an online platform. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin calls for rain and mild temps today before winds shift and colder air moves in for Thanksgiving. And yesterday, the corn, bean, and wheat markets sold off. We get analysis from John Zanker. It's all on the way on the HAT Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Thanksgiving dinner costs are down and reshaping how machinery changes hands. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Greg Allen. Cooking a Thanksgiving dinner for your friends and family will cost less this year. The American Farm Bureau Federation's 40th annual Thanksgiving dinner survey provides a snapshot of the average cost of Thanksgiving staples that make up a classic holiday feast for 10. Eric Pfeiffer reports.
It is about $55.18 for 10 people, which is about $5.52 a person. So that's down 5% from last year, and it's the third straight year of declines.
And that's Farm Bureau economist Dr. Faith Parham.
That's driven a lot by maybe some reductions in prices overall, but also grocery stores continue to run deals to help make Thanksgiving affordable for all Americans.
Parham adds that 3 years of declines don't fully erase dramatic increases that led to a record high cost of $64.05 in 2022. The shopping list for Farm Bureau's informal survey includes turkey, stuffing, sweet potatoes, rolls, peas, cranberries, a veggie tray, and my favorite, pumpkin pie with whipped cream, all in quantities sufficient for 10 servings. Parham says half of those ingredients in the survey declined in price.
That includes sides and the centerpiece of the show, turkey. Turkey farmers are still battling avian influenza, but overall demand has fallen over time, meaning that even with a smaller supply, retail prices are falling about 16%. Shoppers who wait to buy a bird might see a lower cost than what's in our survey, and that's because grocery stores continue to mark down the price the closer we get to the holiday. When we think about Thanksgiving sides, we're seeing lower prices, and that's mainly due to lower wheat prices. Stuffing mix, which is down 9%, pie crust down 1%, and dinner rolls, which are down 15%. On top of that, cranberries are down about 3% from last year's unusually high level.
However, items like fresh vegetables and sweet potatoes increased. A veggie tray is up more than 61%, and sweet potatoes are up 37%. Natural disasters partly contributed to the increase, like hurricane damage in North Carolina. Read more about the Thanksgiving dinner survey at fb.org. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
Farmers looking to move used equipment are seeing new advantages in taking their sales online thanks to digital auction platforms like Purple Wave that are reshaping how machinery changes hands. For decades, selling a tractor or combine meant hauling it to a live auction, paying transport costs, and hoping for a good crowd. But now, online-only auction companies are giving sellers a more efficient option. These platforms allow farmers to list equipment directly from their farm, eliminating the need to move it until it's sold. According to Doug Maynor of Purple Wave,
we take a lot of the guesswork out of the auction business. So what we really try to do is create an environment of trust for folks to know that, hey, with the way we partner with our sellers, it's a little different than like other traditional auction companies that create an event or they create like, hey, let's go out and sell this guy's farm. We do that, but we also look at doing things one-off or item specific. And that's really where we changed the marketplace.
Industry analysts say that's not just convenient, it's profitable. Online auctions dramatically expand the buyer pool, pulling in bidders from across the country rather than just a single region. And as the farm economy continues to rely more on digital tools, online auctions are becoming a key part of the equipment lifecycle, offering speed, simplicity, and nationwide reach. For producers looking to turn unused iron into income, the click of a mouse may now be the most powerful tool in the shed. Find these stories and more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Greg Allen.
Farmers know that hard work has its rewards. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America has designed our operating loans to work just as hard for you in return. Earn 1.5% cash back on all purchases when you connect your operating loan to our disbursement card. Because in times like these, some extra cash back never hurts. Visit fcma.com/operating to learn more. Disbursement card for use with an operating loan. Operating loans are subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Now on the Hat Podcast, Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast, brought to you by the Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Dealing with moisture through the day today, periods of rain coming through. This rain developed in the pre-dawn hours, moving across the Hoosier State. I think it's going to be done by mid-afternoon. And we're still mild here, even though it's gray. We are still seeing temperatures above where they should be. So the moisture is going to be completely done before we see the second part of this event. The second part of this event is another frontal boundary that comes through without moisture overnight tonight into tomorrow morning. This will create a significant wind shift. We'll start to see it close to midnight tonight and then right on through the day tomorrow. Strong west and northwest winds will be dominant through Wednesday, through Thanksgiving Thursday, and through Friday. Some much colder air in here, just a smack in the face overall. We are seeing high pressure build to the west, so this is going to be a cold high pressure dome for the most part. However, low pressure is tracking through the Great Lakes region, so I am going to say keep these strong winds in mind when talking about lake effect. I think we have plenty of lake effect cloud cover that comes down into northern Indiana. Lake effect precipitation, I guess I won't rule it out in the typical suspect areas. St. Joe County, not necessarily LaPorte County as much this time, but St. Joe, Elkhart County, maybe LaGrange, we can see some flakes here. But mostly, in my opinion, the lake effect event is farther north in Michigan. Michigan just gets hammered. If you're planning on traveling into or through Michigan for Thanksgiving, be aware it could be a little bit of a mess for Wednesday and Thursday. The strong northwest of flow pattern continues through Thanksgiving Day, but the winds then subside on Friday, and we see some sunshine trying to work through. And then we get into Saturday with it still being cold here. Our next weather system tries to come in from the west. I think we have to leave the door open to both rain and wet snow, just depending on where you are at. But there's a liquid equivalent here of anywhere from a few hundreds to maybe 6 or 7 tenths, depending on where you're at. The biggest rain totals or the biggest moisture totals farther south in southern Indiana. But still, 100% coverage of moisture here. And I do think that there can be some wet snowflake action at times in that Saturday-Sunday time frame. By Sunday night, we're clearing out. Strong Canadian high pressure parks right over the top of us. Look, it's going to be chilly, quite chilly here for Monday and Tuesday, but we're also seeing less moisture. It seems like the surge of cold Canadian air is pushing all moisture threats farther south. So I think we're dry Monday the 1st, Tuesday the 2nd. See some clouds and maybe a few lake effect flurries at midweek, but no strong frontal boundary through the entirety of the week. I think it's closer to late the 6th into the 7th till we get another big round of moisture headed our direction. And that could be back toward rain with some warming late next week. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Harvest reminds us that farming is a team sport. From neighbors lending a hand to partners sharing know-how, teamwork is essential and is how Indiana Ag Nutrient Alliance operates on its mission of enabling viable farms, healthy soil, and clean water. Indiana's ag and commodity groups, alongside ISDA and conservation leaders, work together to vet practices that improve the environment while protecting farmers' bottom line. Helping Indiana farmers thrive is a win for all.
A sell-off and a quiet session to open up the holiday-shortened week. This is Hoosier Ag Today. It's the Monday Farm Market Review. I'm Ian DeEubank, and I'll have settlements momentarily. We'll begin with market analysis. I secured that at the end of the session from John Zanker, Risk Management Commodities. Very steady throughout the Monday session to open up what will be a holiday shortened week because of Thanksgiving, John. But in the case of corn and beans, right around even, definitely markets looking for some direction and something to feed the bull, too.
Well, we had another outstanding export shipment report for corn, 64.3 million bushels. And here we are with... looks like these corn is going to be down 2 cents on the day. So, you know, I mentioned this the last time I talked to you, and we've talked about it a dozen times since February that we just can't, so many great export shipment days, sales days, and we just can't get this market to respond to it. So here we go again. And I'm a little bit concerned that we're seeing some weakening of that DeSmarch corn spread going into the end of the week and first notice day. So we'll see how that all transpires. But I think one thing that that's signaling is that the USDA may not be too far off with their corn yield, and especially for Iowa, where for some reason that basis is still weaker than it was a year ago. We've got a stronger river market. I think that Iowa crop's probably going to come in pretty close to where the USDA has it, and that's going to make it difficult to drop this corn yield much farther, Andy.
On the soybean side, we did see another flash sales announcement, soybeans to China. However, the export inspection number was at the low end of estimates, so some sales are beginning to happen, but it needs to ramp up further for some real market improvement.
Yes. Estimates right now, maybe around 80 million bushels have been bought here in the last 2 to 3 weeks. That's only 320 million short of what that verbal agreement would have suggested that the Chinese might do before January 1st. So we're not going to hit that number, and it'll be interesting to see how that is how that is discussed. What did pop the market today was a phone call between Xi and President Trump. President Xi from China and President Trump. I had a phone call last night, and Mr. Trump had some really positive things to say about it. And we saw beans jump quite a bit on that announcement, and then they slid back here to close just south of steady.
It is a holiday shortened week. No markets on Thursday, not quite a full session on Friday. As far as volume and activity, are we already seeing a significant drop-off this week?
Well, it was quiet, and we did see a spike in volume open interest when President Trump released his statement on his talks with President Xi. So, yes, I think the answer would be it's quiet, not necessarily because of the holiday, but just, hey, we've had some big-time stuff going on here the last month or so. Big sharp run and then a pretty sharp drop. So it'd be okay if we could just take a little bit of a rest this week and get the ducks in a row and come back and see what we can do next week.
John Zanker, Risk Management Commodities. The number there is 866-837-9027. Final numbers now. December corn, 423¾, down a penny and 3/4. Fractionally lower March corn, ending at 436¾. Fractionally lower May, 444¼. That was down just a half cent. A penny and 3/4 off on Jan beans, 1123¼. March, 1132. Down 2¼, and May down a penny and a quarter at 1142. Also weakness in wheat, actually the weak side leader. December wheat, 522¼, down 4¾. Limit lower, December live cattle, 207.20, down 7.25. Up 40 cents for December lean hogs, 78.20. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Monday Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.